All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 71. Of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99. All right, y'all, back with another one, back with another episode. This episode here, we're going to call it What Went Wrong. You know, last weekend was a crazy weekend in fights. Good fights, boxing, you know, MMA, WMMA, good combat sports events all the way around. But I had to do this episode here. You know, I did a live stream the other day just kind of talking about what went wrong in like these specific fights that I was covering and the ones I was focusing on. And I said, I got to come back and just do a whole episode here and kind of put the, you know, put the spotlight on these particular fighters here in the WMMA world and in the boxing world. You know, I got to put the spotlight on them and just kind of give you my thoughts on what went wrong with each of these fighters. And if y'all know what I talk about and cover over here, I'm talking about Sabina Mazo, you know, and her third round TKO loss to Maria Agapova. I'm talking about Mackenzie Dern. You know, she dropped the unanimous decision to Marina Rodriguez. And of course, Deontay Wilder in his rubber match with Tyson Fury, in which he faced an 11th round knockout. Fight which he scored two knockdowns, but he was knocked down three times. You know, third time was the final time he was put down. But yeah, man, I just had to come back on and kind of go back and discuss these fighters individually here, you know, and just kind of talk to y'all about what went wrong with these fighters. It's kind of obvious. That's why I just wanted to kind of break these things down to, you know, if y'all are young fighters out there, what you guys need to work on, some of the little key points that I usually cover in these episodes. I feel like they can help, you know. I'm not saying I know everything, but I'm just saying like some of the basics here. You know, when a fighter tends to depend on one or two things, they can get lost. You know, they can get lost whenever, you know, the going really gets tough in there. You know, when the waters get deep, they tend to kind of get frustrated and lose focus, you know. But yeah, man, overall it was a good weekend of fights, you know. I enjoyed everything, you know, everything from the UFC fight night card to the boxing event, you know, Wilder Fury. That was a big win, man. And they said people didn't want to see Fury and Wilder go at it a third time. I enjoyed it. I really did, man. And I think everybody did. I mean, the crowd was packed out there. I don't know the pay-per-view numbers yet, but it looks like it might be hitting a million. I'm not sure. But there was a lot of people out there, you know, a lot of people, you know. So I think everybody did enjoy, man, for the most part. I did. You know, the fight had action, had everything. But yeah, man. Yeah, just going back and looking at these three fighters, Mazo, Dern, and Wilder, all three of these fighters, they faced adversity and they just couldn't make the necessary changes to prevail. You know, we've seen this time and time again. It was just crazy that we've seen it. You know, I just seen it in every single fight that I wanted to cover, you know, Mazo, Dern, and Wilder, you know, just seeing it happen in all of these fights. And it was just like, wow, you know, like they're really having trouble making the necessary changes and adjustments in here, you know, each in their own way, of course, you know, but very similar, you know, very similar. And like I said, one of the things is you can see it on the fighter's face too, man. Like it's important to know like more than one thing. It's important to be a well-rounded fighter. Like you don't have to be great at everything, but it's good to have the basics and know how to bridge the gap. That's something I've been talking about in the past couple of videos I did. You know, bridging the gap is important, you know, to get what you need. You know, you got to have those certain supporting tools, especially in MMA. You know, if you don't have them, it gets mentally draining in there. You know, it's mentally draining if the only thing you know isn't working for you. You know what I mean? Like you've seen Wilder time and time again now. I won't say time and time again like in the past, but like in these Fury fights, he really struggles when he can't land that big punch. You know what I mean? It's not like there's some things he's mentioned, which I'll talk about here in a minute, like certain other tools he needs to get the power across, you know, get his statement across. When he can't do it, it looks frustrating for him. You know, same with like Mackenzie Dern, you know. It's all about getting out of that comfort zone, man. It's all about just getting out of that comfort zone. But I want to start with Let's start with Sabina Mazo first. You know, like I said, all three of these fighters, they of course have their own plan when they get in there, but they just didn't have the right means to execute. You know, like when I was doing my keys to victory for Sabina Mazo against Agapova, the keys were there. The keys were there, except she just took the wrong approach. You know, Agapova, I called out her strengths and her weaknesses, and she was able to fully execute what she needed to do, whereas Mazo spent the night chasing. You know, she didn't know how to bridge that gap. And when I say bridge the gap, I'm talking about finding that secondary tool to be able to make your strength work for you. You know what I mean? Like Mazo in her fight, of course, she had the height advantage and the reach advantage, but not by much. You know, she didn't have it by much. You know, it's just by an inch. But she didn't let that play into her factor. She didn't let Agapova come after her. She chose to chase Agapova. And chasing Agapova, who is a striker that can move on her feet and has power and hand speed, you don't chase them around all night. You know what I mean? You don't go in there and chase that fighter. You cut the octagon off and you set up things with your jab. You set up things with the leg kicks and you try to bring that opponent to you. You know what I mean? Like, she just fell into Agapova's game plan all night of just chasing her. Like, if you go back and look at it, I said this in the live stream, you never just circle into the power hand of a southpaw. You know, Agapova was in the southpaw position all night, and she just had to circle in the one direction. She was just circling to her left, you know, constantly circling in that one direction. And Mazo just stayed right in front of her, chasing her. So what did Agapova do? Just keep a straight jab and a straight left hand in her face, switching it up, body head, mixing in a check right hook every now and then, because like I said, the feet of Mazo were in position and they were in position for Agapova just to tee off whenever she wanted to. So you could see it in Agapova's face. Like after that first round, when she was able to land at will, she got comfortable. She got comfortable and confident in there because Mazo was giving everything to her, you know? So when you go back and look at like what Mazo does, like I said, she needs to start fast in her fights. You know, sometimes she can be a slow starter. Sometimes fighters, they'll come after her and they will stand in her range. That's why she can get comfortable sometimes. But this was a fight where she was taken out of her comfort zone because the opponent she was fighting chose not to meet her in the center of the octagon. They went straight on the back foot and let Mazo do the chasing. And when Mazo started doing the chasing, that's when you knew that the fight was over, because she wasn't cutting the octagon off and she wasn't stalking. She was chasing. When we stay stalking, you know, you got to be able to cut the octagon off, and you really are trying to set something up for them. You know, you're studying their every move and you have an answer for their every move. When you're chasing somebody, you're basically just behind them chasing, you know, just like cat and mouse. It's just a game. You know, it's just a game for them that they're just letting you come after them until they run into the hole. Like on these cartoons, when they run inside that hole, you can't fit. And boom, you know what I mean? You run right into the wall. So that's how Agapova seen it. You know, Mazo, she needed a better game plan of stalking the opponent if she wanted to come forward. And she just didn't have that. To use that reach, she needed to be able to stick her jab out and start measuring. You know, she needed to measure, because if Agapova knew that Mazo wasn't going to come after her constantly, eventually she would have met her mid-range and she could have had a game plan working for her. You know, Mazo could have. You know, so that was just really, really crazy how Mazo's focus was just out of it. You know, after getting pieced up that first round, second round, it was the same exact thing. And then in the third round, I was just like, it's coming, you know, it's coming. And then boom, I thought it was going to be a left hand, but the right hook landed and she was gone. You know, she got choked out. So what went wrong in this fight? It was basically, you know, just not committing to her strengths, you know, and bringing her opponent to her, you know, and just being focused. You know, she spent the night chasing. That's what was one of the wrong things she did. Chasing her opponent, stepping right into the southpaw's lead hand, you know, never keeping her lead foot on the outside of the southpaw's lead foot. She was just right in the power zone. Chasing her opponent, staying right in front of them. And the number one thing, no head movement. you know, no head movement at all for her. And people could say, oh, you don't know, you're just watching the fight. I'm telling you what I've seen, and I'm telling you why she got knocked out. And every single one of these things happened because she didn't execute defense and she spent the night chasing, you know? So that was a few of the things I noticed that went wrong for Mazo, you know, just her abandoning using her reach. And you could see, like, she was off, man. Like, whenever she would try to get in at Mazo, and when she would try to get in at Agapova, she would try to throw a kick, she was missing, you know, and that was frustrating to her. You know, she's used to being that long, tall fighter that can get those shots in, but she was dealing with a fellow long frame, lanky fighter that knew how to use her reach right away. So when she couldn't get it going, mentally drained. You know, after the second round, into that third round, she was mentally drained because it wasn't working for her. She didn't have those alternatives. You know, she didn't know how to lure her opponent in. She didn't know how to stay on the outside and bring the fight to the center of the octagon, you know. So hopefully Mazo works on those things. You know, defense is a big part of her, I think, part of her process and what she needs to do of becoming a better fighter eventually. But, you know, shout out to Sabina Mazo. I picked her because, you know, I saw her as one of those fighters that was really focused, but something seems a little off with it, you know, going into this fight. You know, Agapova, I gotta give her credit. You know, she did a complete 180 from her last performance, and she came in to make a big statement, and she did that, you know. So moving on to Mackenzie Dern, I think a lot of people, they picked Mackenzie Dern for the obvious reasons. You know, everybody thought that she had that secondary weapon that we've been talking about. You know, she's been building her striking enough. But like I told y'all, I couldn't pick her. I had to go with Marina because I thought Marina was more experienced. And her strong suit, you know, her plan A to me is much, much more polished than Mackenzie Dern. And where Mackenzie Dern, hers was going to fail her, her strong suit was going to fail her, is the fact that it needs to be taken to the ground. Whereas Marina Rodriguez, she starts on her feet. You know, she's a striker, so that benefits her off the jump. You know, round one start, you're on the feet. So she can move around, get the jab going, get the right hand going, get the kicks in. Whereas Mackenzie Dern, she needs to bridge the gap to get what she needs. You know what I mean? Like, she's known as a solid BJJ practitioner, but for BJJ to work in MMA, you got to have solid hands. You know, you got to have some good hands. You got to have good wrestling. Number one, you got to have an ability to close that distance, clinch, wrestle. You got to have that physical strength. And I like the fact Mackenzie Dern is working on her hands. Don't get me wrong. I love the fact that she is, but her hands weren't going to be developed in one camp for a lifetime striker like Marina Rodriguez. No way. You know, I think that's what threw a lot of people off. They were like, oh, she's going to land a big overhand right and knock out Marina Rodriguez. I was like, okay. You know, that kind of took me back to like Floyd Mayweather. Like, when people would see a guy like Marcos Maidana knocking people out with his right hand, they go, oh, this guy, he's got the power. He's going to knock Floyd Mayweather out. But y'all just don't know, like, Floyd Mayweather's boxing pedigree and his IQ is just through the roof. So he knows how to handle a puncher. So for Marina Rodriguez on her level versus a Dern, who's just picking up on her striking, which she's not even in high school yet with her striking. You know, she's still in the middle school stage or elementary school stage compared to Marina. So her right hands are going to be telegraphed and so easy to time for Marina Rodriguez. You know, she's just going to step out of the way, use her footwork to get out of the way. She's lucky that Marina didn't land them big counters, because she could have landed some big uppercuts up the middle and dropped Mackenzie Dern if she wanted to. I think she could have if she would have been less defensive minded, you know. But yeah, I think a lot of people were just hung up on the striking, and they thought her striking was going to get her these takedowns and she was eventually going to submit Marina Rodriguez. But I had to scratch all of that, man. I from the jump was picking Marina, and my confidence actually went up even after I dropped my video, my prediction, because I went back and watched the Carla Esparza fight again, and I could see how Carla won that fight. But at the same time, I saw the things that Marina did to Carla to make it competitive. Like, Carla won the fight because of her wrestling, her ground control, you know, and that's something Mackenzie Dern lacks. And then I saw Marina busting Carla Esparza up. So the way she was busting her up, I said, oh man, like Mackenzie, she's going to get pieced up. You know, she's going to be getting eaten up with these big shots. But hey, shout out to Dern though, man. Dern, she was really able to take these shots. You know, she was able to take some big shots from Rodriguez. You know, good chin, you know, all around good chin. But the one thing I will say about Dern that went wrong, you know, since we there, what went wrong for Dern is the fact that she went in with the same game plan that her fans thought was going to work for her striking. You know, she spent too many rounds trying to strike with Marina Rodriguez instead of trying to wrestle. You know, she should have been shooting for ankles or shooting for double legs or, you know, perfecting her clinch game. So, you know, when she lock up with Marina Rodriguez, she could eventually get the trip and the takedown, you know. But she spent too many rounds waiting on the outside and then punching her way in. And that's where Marina would just like duck out of the way. And you could see Marina getting more confident. Of course, the second round was a scary one for Marina, but I wasn't as worried as most people, because again, like for a fighter like with no ground game, Marina Rodriguez is always surviving. She's never been submitted. You know what I mean? She's never been submitted by these high level grapplers out here. You know, Calvillo, Randa Marcos, Carla Esparza, Calvillo, yeah, and Dern now. You know, all these fighters, they couldn't submit her. They couldn't do it. And now somebody like Dern had, you know, the whole second round of work, and she couldn't get it. She couldn't get it either, man. So that tells you something about Rodriguez and her survival skills, you know, and her takedown defense. You know, it's on point. Could be better. Definitely could be better where she won't lose rounds like this. She can scramble and get back up. But Mackenzie Dern, her whole game plan of just trying to strike her way in and land right hands, that didn't work. It didn't work. It had to be wrestling. That gap was there. You know, the gap was there. That she needed to bridge that gap and really do rounds and drills of wrestling constantly to get a striker down like Marina Rodriguez, you know? Because, you know, you may be good at the ground with submitting fighters, or you might have that power, you know, but you may need that alternate route to get there. Because, again, you know, for Mackenzie Dern, the fight doesn't start on the ground for her. You know, that's where she has to have that other tool. You know what I mean? Like even Khabib, you know, he worked on his hands to get people down at times. You know, his wrestling is on point, so he can get you down. Again, wrestling was just the key to get the fight to the ground she needed. You know, better clearance control and not trying to feint or strike with the striker, you know? So she still got a lot to work on. I mean, I like the fact that the drive is there. You know, the drive is definitely there for Mackenzie Dern. And I think when she goes back to watch this fight, she's definitely going to understand what went wrong. You know, she's definitely going to say, oh, okay, well, this is what I need to do in the future with these strikers. I've got to work on my wrestling. You know, I've got to work on my wrestling. And now I got to watch this fight. I'll say, wow, like, you know, Zhang Weili and Rose, they would have a field day with this type of movement, you know, because fighters like Zhang Weili, Rose, Marina, Joanna, they separated themselves from the second tier contenders by putting it all together. You know what I mean? Like Joanna may be a top level striker, and that's what we see her do round after round, but her takedown defense is an art in itself. You know, that's an art in itself. In Rose, her striking is on point, but when she gets you down to the ground, you know, her jiu-jitsu is solid. You know, her jiu-jitsu is solid. Zhang Weili has some decent hands. You know, she's a brawler, but when she gets you down to the ground, she can maul the heck out of you. You know what I mean? She can maul you. She can wrestle. She can control you in the clinch. So many things going for her. Whereas I see Mackenzie Dern, I see the movement on the ground. It's beautiful. She's like an artist when she's down there, and she's just transitioning, and she can escape your submission attempts, and she can get an arm bar so quick or a heel hook, get to your back. She flows so nicely, you know, it's like water on the ground, but getting there is a problem for her. Like it doesn't look smooth. Like even the striking, it doesn't look smooth. She actually kind of regressed, you know, she actually took a step back Saturday night with her striking. Like there was no really like jabs to the chest and like no beautiful right hands. It was like a lot of stumbling and wild shots missing and kind of stopping on her toes, where she was just kind of like, just kind of like screeching to a halt and just looking off balance. You know what I mean? So that's the part that's missing with her. You know, there's those other tools to make her complete right there. So there's got to be the wrestling. The wrestling's got to be there for her. You know, it's got to be that's the part that she really has to get together for future fights, you know. But yeah, that's really what went wrong for Mackenzie Dern, was just the fact that there wasn't enough clinch control and wrestling, and too much focus on the striking, on the hands, you know, and that just wasn't going to work. So her situation was similar. You could kind of see her get fatigued throughout the fight. I know it was a lot of body shots and leg kicks she was eating, and a lot of overexerting herself with big shots. That's why she got tired. But it was still mentally, it was mental as well. Because every time she would swing wild and she'd see her opponent like halfway across the octagon already, you'd be like, damn, like, why am I missing? Like, why are they getting past my shot? This right hand was supposed to work. It landed in the gym. It's landed in sparring. Why is it not landing here? You know what I mean? So that type of stuff is draining. You could see it in her face, you know, after the third or fourth round. Like, she was still trying to swing for the home run. But no, like, other than that, it was done. You know, it was really done for her. So, yeah, there's always room for improvement for a fighter like her. You know, I think she's somebody wants to get better. You know, she's focused. She's got a fire in her. So it's not over. Definitely not over for her. But yeah, that's what went wrong for her, I think. Just those different things and that I went down. And yeah, you can see a fighter get really uncomfortable when they can't get what they want, when they're so used to getting it that one way. If that makes sense to y'all, like, she just couldn't get it to the ground and it wasn't working. So you see the frustration. You see the frustration. But yeah, moving on though. Last fight, Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury 3. I've talked about some of the things in Wilder's, you know, some of the things in his game plan before and why they haven't worked for him in the last fight. In the fight before that with Tyson Fury the first time. First off, to say shout out to both guys that put on a, you know, good, solid heavyweight fight, probably the fighter of the year for boxing. You know, since 2021 has been kind of a bust for boxing. They definitely won me back over with this action-packed night. A lot of drama between these guys, but we had some good technique in here, good skill, a lot of heart. You know, and I had to give it to Deontay Wilder for wanting to run it back a third time with such a big, strong boxer. You know what I mean? Somebody much bigger than him, stronger than him, and what he did to him the last time, he was willing to do it again. And shout out to Tyson Fury for taking on this monster puncher again. You know what I mean? Somebody that was really, really raring to knock him out. You know what I mean? So first, I just want to get that out of the way. I definitely say, you know, shout out to both of these guys. But for Deontay Wilder, it started with a good plan. But once again, you know, when you abandon a plan, it can kind of make you resort to your old ways. You know, you start to try to get back into that old comfort zone. It can kind of cost you. And I think for Deontay Wilder, he started with a good game plan. But as soon as he left it, you know, it went right back down to the same thing that happened to him in the second fight and, you know, some moments in the first fight. You know, I think there came a point where, since, you know, Deontay Wilder has been winning fights, so many fights by knockout, it was only natural. He had to resort to his old ways, you know what I mean? And that's something that fighters have to break. And I think that's one of the main things that went wrong for Deontay Wilder, you know, abandoning his game plan. Like, if you go back and look at the first round, like, the jab to the body, like I said, my post fight, was nice work by Deontay Wilder. Like, jabbing to the body of Tyson Fury. Of course, it would have got telegraphed and Tyson might have adjusted to it. But if he continued to incorporate that jab with straight right hands, and this is what I'm talking about with bridging the gap again, if he were to continue to throw those nice jabs straight down the pipe and, you know, keep his head off the line, it would open up so much more for Deontay Wilder. You can see the red welt on Tyson Fury's belly too, man. Like, you can see the red welt. Like, I was like, okay, we getting something. And then every time he would throw the right hand up top, I was like, okay, I like this. Now, and then after the first round, it was it. You know, so I think that, you know, Deontay Wilder, he was on to something, but it really, really went south when he abandoned that jab to the body. You know, he abandoned that jab to the body. Tyson Fury just got into his rhythm and was able to get on the inside and land his straight 1-2 down the pipe. You know, when he was just throwing that 1-2 down the pipe on Deontay Wilder just kind of got those flashbacks from the second fight, you know, those thudding 1-2s. And another thing about Deontay is the way he was turning his head. Like, he continued to get hit in the ear, which, you know, after the fight, he suffered a busted eardrum, is because of the way he keeps his head on the line, but the way he just kind of like turns his head, like he's looking the other way, like he'll pull back and he'll turn his head and he's still in Tyson Fury's sights. You know what I mean? So after the jab hits him in the face, he tries to turn at left and he's turning right into the power hand of Tyson Fury. So as Tyson Fury launches that right hand, Wilder is turning, he's turning to the left, and then his head is turned to the right, so boom, he catches it right on the ear. And that's how Tyson Fury throws it. He lobs it over. So as soon as his opponent pulls back, and Deontay Wilder, it can fully extend and it'll crack him right on the face or right on the jaw or by that eardrum, you know, because to close the distance, you know, if you're facing a fellow long fighter, you have to kind of throw an overhand right. But Tyson, he kind of combines an overhand right and a straight right hand with his 80-inch reach. With 81-inch reach, he'll throw that looping right hand and then boom, you know, it catches him right on the ear, you know. So Deontay Wilder, his game plan needed to be, you know, duck low or left, right, you know, take your head off the line. Just take your head simply off the line, but never pull back. Never pull back. So those are just some of the things that went wrong in the fight. You know, him just reverting back to his old ways, abandoning the game plan. And, you know, when you look at it in a technical way, pulling your head back, head on the line, no jab. And again, a lot of that is draining, man. Like, when you don't stick to a game plan and adjustments that can help you in a fight, and somebody else, you know, they just continue to lay on you and box you and maul you and switch it up on you, it's going to become draining for you. You know, Malik Scott, I feel like he did come up with a good game plan for Deontay Wilder, and he tried his best to change him into, not change him into another fighter, but add more things to his game, add more to his arsenal. But it's all in the fighter to execute that, you know. Some people might say, oh, he wouldn't fit with Wilder, but the fighter has to execute what the trainer's given him. You know, they have to execute what he's given him. For Wilder, you know, he had to step out of that comfort zone. You know, he had to perfect nothing but weaknesses, you know, perfect nothing but weaknesses until they're good. You know, you need to be good at everything, but not great. You know, that's why I say you need to work on the left hook more and be more of a body puncher in this fight, or, you know, even be more of a brawler and mauler in this fight, but not necessarily put on too much top heavy weight. You know what I mean? Like, just be more of a mauler to counter that strength that Tyson Fury's putting on you. You know, that's why I say strength is more important than power. You hear me say that more and more, because Tyson Fury, man, he came with the strength. He came with the strength in this fight, you know, not just the weight, but he came with the strength. He knew how to use it. He knew how to put that weight on Wilder and throw hard, stiff shots. You know what I mean? That's why he could have went the whole 12, you know. But, yeah, man, Wilder, I think moving forward for him, it's going to take, you know, a couple more camps and, you know, a few more fights to really, really get him into what he needs to be. And for Wilder, I'd say for bridging the gap for him, he's got to. Okay, so he's a puncher. Wilder's a puncher. You're not going to turn this guy into a Floyd Mayweather or Ali overnight, or like this whole nimble, light on his feet, jab, 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 point fighting boxer. He's not going to be that, you know. So he needs to be a puncher. You know, he needs to be more of a technical puncher. You know, like a Julian Jackson, even Danny Garcia, like I mentioned him before. Like, he needs to be more of that type of puncher that can set up his shots. You know, not just the guy who swings the right hand or depends on the right hand you know, as his opponent slows down. No, he needs to be more of a stalker. He has to be lighter, I think. You know, weight doesn't really have anything to do with his power. So he needs to be a little bit lighter and on the outside, fighting at a range and fighting at a mid-range, but not staying on the inside where he can get mauled by these big, big guys. You know, he needs to be that technical puncher, and he's got to bridge that gap by throwing more jabs, you know, being more of a jabber, you know, slamming that jab in the face so the straight right hand comes, and he has to be more of a counterpuncher. You know, being a counterpuncher is, combination puncher. You know, throwing more combinations is going to set up those power shots. So he's got to bridge that gap to get to that power all the time by, you know, throwing more jabs, going to the body, being a combination puncher, you know, incorporating the left hook. So fighters, they're worried about the left hook, and then the right hand comes, or if they're worried about the right hand, boom, the left hook comes, you know. So he has to be more set up on his feet to walk you down and get out of harm's way and fight at the mid-range. Even like if you look at the boxer punchers like Sergey Kovalev, you know, Kovalev could fight at a mid-range. You know, he slammed that hard concussive jab in your face, very straight, very technical jab. And so many fighters would get flustered and hurt by that straight double, triple jab Kovalev would throw, that by the time he threw that right hand, he could knock you out. You know, so somebody like Wilder with his build, he needs to be, you know, bouncing too much, but just kind of fainting from that mid range and, you know, throwing them basic 1-2s down the pipe, and that'll get his power off, you know. And definitely has to move his head more. You know, he's definitely got to move his head more. You know, you just can't keep your head on the line against these big, big heavyweights, you know, because whether it be Tyson Fury or Andy Ruiz, you know, these are guys that they throw combinations, you know, they throw combinations. So you got to be first, you know. But yes, like I said, man, for all three of these fighters, Mazo, Dern, and Wilder, got to step out of the comfort zones, you know. Got to step out of your comfort zone, perfect nothing but the weaknesses, you know. Don't keep working on everything you already know. Start perfecting those weaknesses in the gym, and that's it. You know, perfect the weaknesses, you know, for Mackenzie Dern. Don't even worry about throwing the overhand rights. You know, you don't even work in your jiu-jitsu. Work on what you need to get there, you know, those gaps. You know, start building that bridge. You know, for Mackenzie, it's got to be constant wrestling. You know, it's got to be constant wrestling and, you know, clinch work and body control. You know, because against Marina Rodriguez, she was just like all over the place. You know, she was just like hanging with the she was like hanging on to Marina Rodriguez. Marina would just like dip out at an angle and, you know, or push her off of, you know. So yeah, man, moving forward, it's going to be tough for these fighters. You know, it's going to be kind of tough for them, but I think that it can be, for some of them, I think it can be done as far as, you know, perfecting themselves. You know, Mazo is still young, of course, and, you know, Dern is still young, but it's all in what they surround themselves with, what type of focus they keep, what type of people they keep around them to keep them focused. For Wilder, though, I don't know. You know, I think Wilder, he can still fight on. You know, I think he can still knock out the majority of the other heavyweights in the game. But eventually you'll meet another boxer. You know, you meet another boxer that might give you the same trouble, because believe me, these other fighters, they watch you. You know, these other fighters, they watch and see who broke you, and they try to see if they could do the same thing. You know, it's like when Tarver beat Jones, you know, everybody wanted to rush Jones and push him to the ropes and fight him, take away his legs and just keep him on the ropes, right, until they could knock him out. So the same could be said here for, you know, Wilder. You know, all these other guys are going to be watching. You know, they will be watching. But yeah, man, that's pretty much all I got on this episode. I just kind of wanted to go back and talk about what went wrong with each of these fighters. I know stamina is another big thing with cardio with Wilder. You know, road work. He needs road work in his workout plan. You know, road work is very big. Running is very big. You know, running is very, very important for a boxer. You know, again, if you complain about how your feet are, or if you're flat footed, I know a lot of people that can run like that still. You know, just find another alternative. Make it be whether it be a treadmill. You know, might say you got to run on the road all the time, but get it in, get the running in some way, somehow. You know, you got to, because you're on your legs for how many rounds you need, 12 rounds, 10 rounds, whatever, you know. So that's a big part for Wilder. But yeah, man, final thoughts on this episode. I think pushing forward for Dern, I think we'll see her start to complete that circle, you know, in maybe like another year or two when she really gets to working on her wrestling and finding that gap that needs to be filled and understanding herself. I mean, we could say from the outside looking in, but it's going to be on her to actually know what it is, you know. So I think we'll see her improve, you know. Mazo, we'll see. Because that was a big step down, man, like what we've seen from her in the future. But, yeah, Wilder, also another one I have to say we'll see. But I see Dern. I do see some improvements in Dern, though. You know, I do see some in her as she moves down the further on in her career. But, yeah, that's about it. That's about it, guys. Like I said, I just had to come back and talk about what went wrong in these fights because it's important to talk about what we see these fighters do that cost them victory, you know, because we always talk about what fighters do right. You know, if we're talking about Valentina, we're talking about, oh, she executed this right, the distance right. Well, let's talk about why these fighters lose sometimes, you know. Let's talk about the fighters on the opposite side, you know, like I said, the Mazos, the Derns, the Wilders, why they lost, you know what I mean? And it's ones that you really have to kind of call out and just kind of pick it apart and kind of just critique it, just because you're like, man, like the answer's right there in front of their faces. But the thing is, it's about bridging that gap. It's about taking away the comfort, you know. So moving forward, that's for any young fighter coming up. Just try to understand what I mean. Like I said, I could probably break this thing down again. You know, I just kind of wanted to get it off my get it off my mind now and just talk about this because we're just fresh off the fight this week. And yeah, like I said, I'll probably even do a breakdown of one of these fights, like technical, you know, doing the technical mistakes of one or two of these fights. But yeah, guys, that's pretty much all I got on this one. Make sure y'all subscribe to the show. Y'all can always check it out on cb99talks.com, or you can subscribe to the show iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and on Tuned In. That's T-U-N-E, or Tune In, T-U-N-E, T-U-N-E-I-N.com. So I just started uploading it there. I just, you know, sent off the link there, so y'all can check it out there, guys. But yeah, good weekend of fights. You know, I'm recording this now. It's already like pushing midnight, so tomorrow is fight night. As I said, I got Manon Fiorot versus Mayra Buena Silva. Got Norma Dumont in the main event over Aspen Ladd. Estela Nunes versus Ariane Carnelosi. I'm not sure. I don't have a pick in that one. And I am picking Luana Carolina versus Lupi Gonzalez. Man, Lupi came in at like 121, man. Like, dang, she didn't even put the extra 4 pounds on. So we'll see. She might be quick and strong in there. We never know. Like, she's kind of at a mid zone with strawweight and flyweight right now. So might work in her favor. You know, you never know. But I'm going to go with Luana. You know, she's a natural flyweight here, and I think she has the striking and the footwork that could give her some problems. But yeah, guys, like always, subscribe to the YouTube channel, Combo Breaker 99. That's where, you know, everybody usually is anyway. Yeah, then I got this community tab too. I like it, you know, my YouTube page. So yeah, shout out to all my new subscribers. Keep on subscribing, and that's where I'll be posting a lot. Now, you know, even on my IG at Combo Breaker 99. So yeah, guys, I'll catch y'all on the next one. Catch y'all after fight night. Combo Breaker 99. I am out. Subscribe. Peace.